So do you know how many weeks of Easter we celebrated? More than one. How many weeks of Easter, you think? Seven. We're on the seventh week of Easter, all right, already. And we're actually nearing the end of it with next Sunday being Pentecost. And after that, we go back to ordinary time. But if you think about it, this whole Easter season and even going back to Lent, the Lenten season, it's what I would call a roller coaster for the apostles and for us who follow the apostles. You follow Jesus, you believe in him, you betray him, he dies, you lose faith in him, you give up, then he rises from the dead, then you believe in him again. up and down, and now this is the latest. He says, go into the whole world, proclaim the gospel to every creature, and afterwards, he what? He leaves. He ascends to heaven and takes his seat at the right hand of God. So you take me through all these ups and downs, and then now you leave me again? Right? I mean, isn't that kind of cruel? I mean, like, what if your boyfriend said to you, oh, I love you, I love you not. Oh, I love you, but then I gotta go. What's up with that? why doesn't he just stay with us? Why does he ascend to the Father? Right? Why does it seem like he's leaving us? What does Jesus ascending to the Father mean for the apostles? What does it ultimately mean for us? Do you have any answers? No, it's just ascension, you know, it's not that important, you know. No, Jesus ascends to the Father. He ascends to heaven actually to be available to all of us. By Jesus ascending to the Father, he's no longer limited in his physical resurrected body to proclaim the gospel to the Jews or to the Gentiles. Now he's available to all the nations. How? Well, let's put it this way. What would happen if Jesus did not ascend to heaven? What would have happened if Jesus did not ascend to heaven? Right? He would be very limited, right? He just, you know, like if Jesus was here, he'd just be able to talk to you, and that's it. Right? And he has to go to, he'd be like a traveling magician, or traveling musician, you know, just got to go one show here, one show there, right? And also, the apostles, they would probably continue to follow Jesus, right? But I don't know if they would truly be leaders. Leaders that are convicted. Leaders that are willing to give up their lives. Because Jesus has been grooming them, grooming the apostles to be leaders, spread the good news. And now it's time for him to ascend to the Father so that his followers, his apostles, so they can own the message of Jesus Christ. And it kind of sounds a little weird, but that's what it is. Whenever there's a void in leadership, what happens? Bad people step up to the plate. Whenever there's a void in leadership, somebody's got to fill that void, right? Whenever there's a, when the starting quarterback gets hurt, what happens? You got the backup. That's called Steve Young. Right? Joe Montana got hurt. You got Steve Young. I mean, he's great, right? And when the starter gets hurt, usually the backup comes in, and not only the backup, but everybody else, the whole supporting cast, they kind of pick up the slack to bring home the victory, right? And the backup gains valuable experience in becoming a leader. Or when you lose a loved one in the family, and especially if that person's kind of like the bossy one, especially if that person in the family is like the rock of the family, when that person dies, what happens? I mean, the family's devastated, sad, but someone's got to pick up the slack, no? Someone's got to pick up the pieces and carry on. And it's the same thing with the apostles. After seeing Jesus ascend to heaven, right? And as that first reading, what does the first reading says? Men of Galilee, what are you doing there? Looking up at the sky. That's what it said. That's what it said. Men of Galilee, what are you doing there? Looking up at the sky. after seeing Jesus ascend to heaven, they look around and go, okay, now what? Who's going to pick up the slack? Who's going to be the rock? And they all step up to the plate to carry out the good news. And the key is that they don't just do it to be a backup, but they own it. They own it with conviction as if their lives depended on it. And it's very similar to nowadays we have May and June, also known as graduation season, right? And I got the big baccalaureate mass coming up at my high school, St. Francis. When students go off to college, right? As their parents have ascended out of their lives, all right? When that happens, not only do young adults, they experience freedom, but they discover their true identity. Right? Because it's not like the parents say, okay, do this, do that, do your homework, brush your teeth, you know, take out the trash. Now, when they're free, they discover their true identity. Discover what is it that motivates them? What do they value? What do they believe in? What are the things that they would own up to, own with conviction as if their lives depended on it? Right? And in order for that to happen, the parents have to ascend. And let the child grow into becoming a young adult. Or just like when you get married. When you get married, who gets in the way? The in-laws. Right? You get married. Mother-in-law, father-in-law. Father-in-law, mother-in-law. They tell you, oh, well, you should do this and you should do that. Da, 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 da. Right? No, they gotta let go. They have to let go. Because you and your wife, you and your husband, you're starting a new family. With new rules, new guidelines, right? I mean, hopefully you want to keep some of the traditions, but now you're discovering your own self. You're discovering your own new family, creating that new identity. What is it that you value as a family? What is it that you seek? What is it that you own as a family with conviction as if your lives depended on it? And therefore, Jesus ascends. Jesus ascends to heaven so that he can be available to all of us. So that we can step up in proclaiming the good news and discover our values. What is it that we truly, truly believe in? Things that we can own up with conviction. And that's what's happening with the apostles. They discover their true identity as leaders, clearly believing in Jesus and all of his teachings, valuing it with so much conviction that they end up giving up their lives for it. Right? Now, I wonder if all of us have that same kind of conviction, right? Like, do you have questions about God? No, everything is so clear, no? Do you have questions about the church, the Roman Catholic Church, the catechism, or what it teaches? No, everything is so crystal clear, you know? I'm sure all of us have questions. I have my questions. Growing up, I had many questions. I said, well, why is it a sin if I don't go to church? And the priest said, well, that's a mortal sin, man. You should go to church. Okay, all right. But why is it a sin? Nobody tell me why. Right? Or how can we have a loving God, God that loves us so well, all this, but then you have a place called hell. Like, what's up with that? God loves me, but you have hell, right? Or why are there so many laws? Tell me to do this, don't do that. I thought there were only 10. I thought there were only 10 commandments. I thought there was like 1,000 laws, right? I mean, when you talk about sexuality, there's like 1,000,000 laws on that. Don't do this, don't do that. Well, I can't do anything, right? Or as priests, why can't I have a family? So many questions, I don't know, right? But let me tell you, going to college, soul searching, discovering my identity. Who am I? What is it that I seek? What is it that I value? What is it that I own up to? What is it that I'm convicted of? That I'm as if my life depended on it. Right now, 4 years as a priest, I can honestly tell you I value this stuff. Right? Everything that the Roman Catholic Church teaches in its faith, the deposit of faith, the scripture, tradition, I'm convinced. I'm actually convicted to to defend every word that is said in the creed. Right? But what about us? What about us? Jesus has ascended to heaven. And he's kind of calling us out now. Are you willing to be the rock? Are you willing to pick up the pieces? Are you willing to step up to the plate? What is your true identity as a Christian? What is it that you truly believe in? What is it that you value? What is it that I own with conviction as if my life depended on it? Right? If you look at the history of the Roman Catholic Church, you know, centuries and centuries and centuries. Do you know which century had experienced the most number of martyrs? People who died for their faith? Which century? It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, up to 21. Okay. People say, well, what about the Crusades? What about this? And 20th century. The 20th century has brought the most number of martyrs. People who died for their faith. People who were convinced, convicted of their faith. That they would rather die than deny Jesus Christ. And there's thousands and thousands of examples after examples, you know. Don Romero, you know, Oscar Romero, El Salvador, just standing up for Catholic social teachings. He not only believed it, he lived it, right? And to the point of getting shot while celebrating Mass, right? Blessed Miguel Pro, right? He would rather, cross his arms, spread his arms like this and say, you know, Viva Cristo Rey, rather than deny the faith, the deposit of faith, the creed. Right? And I often think about that and go, well, last week this week, we all the priests were away at this like conference thing we have once a year. And the topic was on evangelization, right? How can we spread the good news and all this? And we're talking and sharing. And, well, what are you doing here? And what are you doing at St. Lucy? And I said, one of the things that I do here is I go once a month. Because when people think of Campbell, they think of like, I don't know, middle class or upper middle class. Oh, that's nice. And you got the whole, yes. You got the water tower, that's Campbell. You got the downtown, that's very nice. People don't know the dark side of Campbell. You know, there's a lot of pockets in these areas. A lot of drugs, a lot of gangs, a lot of issues, a lot of alcohol, a lot of abuse going on. People don't know that side, right? And I go once a month to these areas. And we have a whole team of people here. And we celebrate Mass and we go visit visitations one by one, knocking on doors. And so my priest friends were like, why you want to do that, man? Like, don't you have a church? It's like, yeah, but like, I want to go out there. It's like, but that's kind of dangerous. Like, aren't you going to get shot? I'm like, well, and one says, no, and believe me, I don't want to die, okay? Let's set that straight. For the record, I don't want to die. But then, I also believe it's something beautiful. It's something beautiful. When you're out there, and if I do get shot, well, I mean, at least I died for the faith. No? Isn't that something beautiful? And then when I do die, when I meet God, I'd be like, hey, look here. Look here. Help a brother out. I die for you. You know what I mean? What are you convicted of? Right? In a few moments, I'm going to ask you, during the Easter season, the renewal of baptismal promises in the form of a question, right? You know, the creed, right? The creed. I say, do you believe in God the Father? And everybody say, oh, I do. I don't do. Yes, do, I do. Right? Okay. But do you? Do you really? Right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Do you really do? Or is it like peer pressure? Like everybody has to say I do, but you don't? Right? Or if you don't, why don't you agree with it? What is it that you disagree with? Right? And don't tell me it's because of some random article you read on the internet. Or because one of your co-workers told you this about that. Do some real soul searching. You know what I mean? Here are the facts. Here is the creed laid out for you for generations and generations. Do I really believe this stuff? What is it that I truly seek? What is it that I truly value as my identity as a Christian? And what are the things that I'm really convicted of, willing to maybe even sacrifice my life for, right? To step up to the plate, right? Because if not, all this just, it doesn't mean anything, you know? What am I really convicted of? Ask yourself that. And especially you can start as I ask you these questions of the creed, right? I know all of you will say I do, but ask yourself deep inside, do I really do? Or do I not do? And if I don't do, how come? And what is it that I disagree with, right? And do some real soul searching.